If one more label try to stop me, it's gonna be some dreadheads in your lobby.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Inside the Rebels podcast. This is the Make UNLV Great Again podcast. I'm Joe Arrigo. Along with me, as always, is my partner in crime, my buddy, my VP, Jonathan Von Tobel. JVT, what's going on, brother?
Nothing, man. It's another great day here in our country.
It is.
I actually did. I voted yesterday for the first time in my life. So
really?
That was it. Yeah.
How did you feel about it?
It was interesting. It was not as exciting as I thought, because when I went, I went on voting day.
Right.
So it was empty at my polling place. So it was anticlimactic. Like, I thought there was going to be big lines. I thought there were going to be people chanting outside trying to sway my vote. And there was nothing. There was maybe five people in line when I went with my girlfriend. But I did feel like, okay, I did something. Right. I actually, you know, I put my name out there and I said, I want this person to make a choice for me. So I felt like, okay, well, I did a little something. So it was a cool feeling.
Right.
But not as exciting as I thought it was going to be.
I voted since, well, I'm 96 is when I graduated. So I was a part of the Clinton and Bush elections, as well as Obama. And I'm big time into voting. Like, I'm a political, like, when it's one of my low key, that's one of my, like I'm very interested in it because I like history. I'm a big history buff. And I vote day of. You know, I don't do early voting. You know, I like going the day of. It just feels right. I mean, plus, you know, when you're working, you get that time off of work to go do what you got to do.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that part's pretty cool if you're into that. But, where I vote, I mean, I make no bones about it. I voted at Centennial High School. And I got there. There was one person out front trying to hand out pamphlets for Prop 2, anti-Prop 2 person. And it's one of those things where I was like, well, why are you giving them out now? Someone's mind's made up.
Yeah.
Like, their mind's made up. They're going in to vote. You should have been doing this.
Can you imagine if someone's walking up, grabs a pamphlet, is like, oh, my God.
This is on the ballot?
Yeah.
This is a prop? So I went in there, did my thing. There wasn't too many people. There's probably, yeah. I mean, when I got there, it was probably about like 5-6 people. And then when I left, there's a little bit more. But I found this election interesting. I found last night, the election night, interesting. You know, I want to give credit to all three networks, though, that covered it first. I want to MSNBC, Fox, and CNN. They all have very different points of view. Like, CNN, and we and I talked about it off air, I give John King is like the Mel Kiper Jr. of the
That was election. Fascinating.
It was. Hitting the touchscreen in the counties and
just
stuff.
Just breaking down each county by county and, you know, saying, oh, well, you know, only 73% of the vote is in here, so you still have some votes here. At, like, just the way he was breaking it down, I mean, you knew that they didn't put up the electoral votes, or they didn't give Trump his votes. You know, they would project, because I just watched mostly CNN, because, like I said, I liked breaking down the counties.
Right.
But when you listened to him, you realized maybe about I would say, like 9:45, 9:30, which direction the election was going, and you could probably figure mathematically Donald Trump was going to be our next president.
And
it was fascinating.
And then he would go, but back in 2012, Obama beat Romney here. And it was like, oh, that's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
MSNBC had great debate between them. I thought that was very interesting between the different political people with political parties and agendas that they're debating. And then Fox was way ahead of the game giving out the electoral votes.
Electoral,
like,
yeah.
Yeah, I keep saying electrical, like I'm an electrician, but the electoral votes. And so you kind of knew, like you said, by like 9:45, I went downstairs and I looked at my wife and my brother-in-law who's at the house and my nephew and my kids. I'm like, my niece, and I was like, hey, you know, Trump's going to be president.
Mm.
And got a little debate. But what I found interesting about the night, and I found two things interesting. Now, you remember watching, I know it's made much to do during the debates about whether or not Trump would accept the result if he lost.
Mm.
And then last night, obviously, Hillary Clinton didn't come out and give her concession speech. And I thought that was interesting. Like, if the shoe was on the other foot, how would that have been received and portrayed by the media?
I would say that she's not the one that said, I'm not going to accept the results. He did. So I think he invites the criticism when he says,
absolutely,
hey, I'm not going to accept the results. And then he decides, if it were flipped around, I'm not going to speak tonight. He already invited that criticism, where she's never questioned, hey, I'm going to question these results if I don't win.
Right. And I
think that's why it would be it's flipped.
Right. And I think the Fox Fox News was that was their debate, their mediator, and he I remember him saying last night during that time that he should have asked her the same question, and he foobarred that, which I agree, because if you're gonna ask one, ask them both, okay? But what I found interesting, and I talked to a few people today that are one of which I have a history with, and he's a political talk host in another state, and I asked him, I said, "What did you think about that?" He goes, "Did you ever consider that maybe she was too emotionally distraught to come out and speak? And if that's the case, is that the type of person that when times get rough and whatnot, you would want leading your country, someone that's that emotionally distraught or maybe couldn't handle something when the times get rough?" That was a fear that he had and why he chose not to vote for her. And I thought that was very interesting. It's a very interesting point. Whether or not you agree with that, I think it's a valid point as well.
Mm-hmm.
All I get to, yeah. I thought you were going to have something.
Well, like I said, I'm not a big – this is my first election, so I'm not really big on any big side or anything like that. You know, I made my choice. I said, I was more fascinated with just the coverage itself. And like I said, this is the first time I ever really sat down and paid attention on an election night. So it was fascinating to see the votes come in and all of that. I'm more excited, to be honest with you, about all the propositions we had here in town. I mean, even 1 through 5, not even just number 2. You know, like breaking up NV Energy. And the monopoly that they have.
Yeah, I know Sheldon Adelson was big on that one.
You know, there's a lot of cool stuff I think that's going to start happening here. The medical equipment question.
Yeah.
I know the gas tax went through as well, so we're going to start seeing that.
I didn't understand that one, to be honest with you.
The fuel index?
Yeah, that one I was kind of like...
So do you remember the report that came out actually a couple of weeks ago, right when we were having the... The stadium thing.
Right.
And they were having the vote and the $899 million thing came out.
Okay, yeah.
That fuel indexing tax... That's the money that's going to be used for all those projects.
Oh, okay.
So they extended it for 10 years so they could use that to fund the projects. So, like, when that number of $899 million came out, you know, that was already stuff that was on
the books.
Oh, yeah, on the books, ready to go. They just didn't have the funding. That's what question 5 was, to extend the tax and all that.
To that. Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, that was good. And then, obviously, the Prop 2.
Prop 2.
Look, I don't smoke. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be honest. But I do think that if you have alcohol and cigarettes legal, and you know those could kill people and have caused a lot of hurt and harm, I don't think something that could take away some pain and gives you the munchies is that big of a deal.
No, to be honest with you, it's just like they said, regulate it like alcohol.
If you can look,
I just don't understand if you can look at alcohol, they'd be like, yeah, that's cool. But then you look at marijuana, it's like, no, that's dangerous. To be honest with you, alcohol, you could make the argument, is a little bit more dangerous than actually marijuana. But that's a whole other topic.
Yeah, and we're not getting into – I mean, we wanted to touch on this, the political side, because it's what happened last night. But
I was – just to go back to my original point, I was more interested – obviously, I voted for president, but I was much more interested in the local stuff than I was with everything that was going on in the nation.
Do you know what I'm most thankful for when I woke up today? There's no more damn political ads.
Yeah.
I am tired of Joe Heck and Catherine Cortez Mastro and the rest of them every 5 minutes. I was getting texts from both of them yesterday. Like not literally them, but their parties. Like,
yeah.
I'm just like, finally, I just text stop. Like, enough. I've got tired of it. And we're going to stop with the political talk, because it is what it is. And it's all said and done. And UNLV is moving forward, and that's where they're trying to make, you know, this is the Make UNLV Great Again podcast, because that's what Tony Sanchez is attempting to do. And it all starts with his recruiting class. And this week, he went out and went to Highland Community College, and they needed something. They needed players. And there's a linebacker there, an outside linebacker named Jacob Rominger. He is a quick, fast linebacker that – at the end of the day, can do a lot of the things that that you need for in defense. And again, he does play outside, and we're very pleased to announce that Jacob did commit to UNLV last week, and we are also pleased to have Jacob on the phone right now. We got Jake Rominger, the newest UNLV commit. He is a linebacker from Highland Community College in Kansas. And full disclosure, I've had a couple conversations with him. He's a great guy. What's going on, Jake?
Nothing much. How you guys doing?
Hey, we're hanging in there, buddy. So, well, first of all, let's go through the process of, you know, why you thought UNLV was the best choice for you to choose between all the schools you had the opportunity to go to.
You know, know, after talking with my parents and my coaches, we just saw that it was the best fit and the best opportunity for me right now. And, you know, after talking with Coach Sanchez, he just showed a lot of passion and enthusiasm for the game. And, I mean, that was probably the biggest reason. I just love the steps that he's taking for the program and the direction the program is going and the enthusiasm and the passion that he shows and the energy that he brought to the table. And that was a really big seller right there as it is. And I just loved everything that we've been talking about so far, and I can't wait to get down to visit them.
I'm always curious when it comes to recruits at this program, especially now. When you follow them this season, there's been some disappointing losses, but there's still that message that's there. Is that what you really look at and hold on to when you're thinking about coming to this program after you see losses like to a San Jose State or an Idaho, things of that nature?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, there's going to be some tough games here and there, but, I mean, the message is still the same. Coach Sanchez is definitely taking the team and the program in the right direction, and he brings the attitude of, you know, it's a winning season around here, and that's what he wants, and that's what he expects, and that's what he demands. And if everyone just buys into it, which I know everyone will, it's going to be something special there in UNLV, and that's something that I definitely look at and something I trust and believe in that Coach Sanchez is doing, and so is the rest of the coaching staff.
How much did the city of Las Vegas appeal to you?
You know, I've been getting some love on Twitter and social media and from them, and I've never been to Vegas itself, but my parents have told me all the great things about it, and, you know, after doing some research on it, I'm excited to get down there and see it for myself and for it to become my new home.
We're talking with Jacob Rominger, UNLV's latest UNLV commit. He's from a Highland Community College in Kansas. Jake, now, I know right now you're playing outside linebacker for Highland. What's the plans going forward? Do they plan on moving you inside at all, where there's going to be an opportunity to play early on, or do you think they're going to keep you outside?
I've been having a few talks with Coach Bear, and he's been talking about having me learn two different positions, the outside and the inside, and my coach here has been thinking that I'm going to be moving inside to either Mike or Will Backer. But, you know, I'll do anything for the team, and whatever position that they see best fit for me, that's what I'll do to help win the games and win championships there. So it's really up to the coaches and where they believe that I would best help the team in whatever aspect that may be.
Now, you also were a former quarterback. How do you think that helps you, especially if you slide inside, transitioning to that position?
Being a former quarterback has actually helped me a lot. It helped me more than I could ever believe. So, you know, it gives me an advantage because I definitely know what offenses try to do and different schemes that they try to run. And I just pick up on tendencies a lot better. And I've noticed that through my change at linebacker. And I've picked up on different route combinations and different running schemes and passing schemes. So I think it will help me in my future at UNLV a lot. Transitioning to the Mountain West Conference.
How much, if at all, did any of the new Fertitta Football Complex, potentially a big old stadium for you guys to play in down the road, how much did that play into you coming down?
You know, I wasn't even aware of that until talking with one of the coaches about scheduling my official visit. He was talking about if I've checked the place out, and I said no, not yet. So I Googled it, and I saw the fly-through tour of the animation, and I mean, it just looks absolutely beautiful. Like, I'm definitely excited to get into the new facilities and get state-of-the-art equipment to help better myself and the team as well. And it's just an exciting process. And, you know, it's definitely a big factor when recruits are coming through and they want the best and nicest things. And then putting in the new facilities and everything is definitely a plus. And it was a factor, but, I mean, the biggest factor for me was the enthusiasm and the passion, the love that Coach Sanchez brought, and just talking with my coaches. But the new facilities are definitely something that I looked at and something I'm excited to be a part of.
We're with Jacob Rominger, UNLV's newest commit. He's a linebacker. He hails out of Kansas. He goes to Highland Community College, and he'll be here against Nevada, right? You're coming in. That's your official visit?
Yes, sir. I will be there on the game home against Nevada.
So you get to see us keep the cannon.
Yes, sir. I'm excited to come down and watch you guys play and get the win.
All right, Jake. I mean, if you want to follow Jake, get at him on Twitter, UNLV fans. It's at Jacob Rominger 15. That's Jacob Rominger, R-O-M-I-N-G-E-R, and then the number 15. Jake, I appreciate the time. And just so everybody knows, Jake's going to be doing an interview with me later today. That's going to go on the website on Inside the Rebels, and we'll have some more questions for Jake, and you guys get to know him a little bit better. Thanks, brother. I appreciate you jumping out with us today.
I appreciate you guys having me on. Appreciate it a lot.
All right, thanks, Jake. Talk to you soon. Jacob Rominger. I'll tell you guys, I watched his film. I watched his film on Huddle. And you can Google it and check it out. He's an impressive player. He does a lot of the little things and does a little dirty work. He's physical, and he's pretty quick. Like, I think he's like 6'3", 225.
4'6", 40-yard dash.
Yeah, so he can move a little bit, and he can get side to side. Jake is a guy that I think he can come in next year right away and make a huge impact, which leads me to the recruiting side of things.
They're going to need it.
With Tal leaving and McLean in. That's why I think they're talking about kicking him inside. For the premium subscribers on Inside the Rebels, I gave you guys if you guys don't have it, go check it out. If you subscribe, you get exclusive recruiting information as far as rumors and the latest updates in recruiting. This class could be better. I mean, it's on pace to be better than last year's class, but it's got a chance to crack some pretty big numbers if a few things happen.
Break his record from last year, essentially.
Not break, shatter.
Okay.
J.J. Johnson. Okay, I want to talk about this last week. Last week, J.J. Johnson, who I've talked about glowingly on the show, he was offered by Oregon. And that just shows the type of talent that J.J. has. He's the receiver from Chandler High School in Chandler, Arizona. I spoke to a source very close to J.J., and I've spoken to him a few times. J.J. still is 110% committed to UNLV. Like, he's made that clear that the source has made that clear that he is 100% committed to UNLV. He actually got baptized a few weeks ago, and he was wearing UNLV gear. It's funny, but little things like that actually say a lot. And I can say that I can report this as well. Coach Cormier, the receiver coach, was actually in Arizona over the weekend and spent some time with them. So J.J. is still 100% committed to UNLV, and they're trying to flip two big-time local recruits as well. And if that happens, you're looking at a class that may even be in the top 50 in the country.
I mean, if you look at it right now, I was already impressed. I mean, and you're adding in key spots, which is actually, I think, the more important thing. You're adding a couple wide receivers, like you mentioned, in Johnson, Jalen Darden,
yes.
Markel Grayson, a local in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
And I've heard him talk multiple times. He's definitely committed to the program, and we know that quarterback might be a position that they need to add to, especially what if they do something with Palandek and moving him in positions.
Right.
And then you mentioned Rominger, who at linebacker, as we already said, it's filling in a key need because two of your top linebackers.
Let's be honest.
Yeah. They're going to be gone. So, Sanchez did a good job this last year. And like you mentioned, there was already a record. So if you think that he's set to shatter this, I will be interested because the recruiting classes just get better. I mean, just according to 24/7 Sports.
Not scout.com?
No, well, because it wasn't loading.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but don't worry. Scout.com's got better ratings anyway. But
yeah, Inside of Rebels, yeah.
You use multiple outlets. Hey, what were we talking about with the politics, right?
Yeah.
You go to different feeds. You want to see what the other people think, right?
All right. Okay.
Good point. I also didn't want them to think, like, these crappy ratings, these are from Scout. No. These crappy ratings I'm about to read are from 24/7. But you got 4 3 stars, according to them, at least. So it's definitely an uptick in what UNLV's been used to seeing.
Yeah, and they actually they're close to landing the number one receiver in New Mexico. And he's a guy that's against 6'1", 195. He's a big kid that can do some things out there, and he's another 3-star recruit. And here's the thing, if you guys think that people think that UNLV's going to land these 4 and 5-star guys, like, you have to be realistic. And
so much better. It's Inside the Rebels. What are we talking about here?
Exactly. Hello.
Look at this. You even got offers on here? What?
Of course I do. Come on, man. Like, what are you talking about? This is what I do for a living. Like, this is what actually kind of tries to pay the bills. I want to give you guys some more information. I'll give you one. It's low enough for me right now. But they actually got another recruit. Coming in from Bakersfield, California. He recently committed. He's a receiver, but receiver as well as corner. And I think he's going to end up being on the defensive side of the ball because this receiving class they got coming in is loaded in terms of, with J.J., with the kid from Texas, the kid from New Mexico, possibly Savon Scarver.
Talking about this kid from Volcano Vista High School?
That's the kid from New Mexico.
Yeah.
Yeah, he can go a little bit.
David Cormier?
Yeah, David Cormier. No relation to the UNLV.
I was going
to
add, okay.
Yeah, no relation to the UNLV wide receivers coach. But you also have like I said, the kid's from Bakersfield. They have him listed as a receiver. We have him at scout listed as a receiver. But I got a feeling he's going to flip the defensive back. He's also a kick and punt returner, and he's electric back there. He's a high 4.5, low 4.6 guy in the 40. Mm. He can make moves. So you're looking at that. If they can land a Savon Scarver to go with this receiving core, now you have explosiveness at the receiving core. Coming back, it's really big time special. They have a running back from Sacramento coming in that they're really high on. He's committed, and I'll tell you what, don't underestimate Markell Grayson and his ability to talk guys into coming to UNLV.
I mean, that's one of his big messages. Like I said, we've had him on Mitch and Pritch, and one of his things is talking to his teammates and trying to get guys to stay home and build something here.
I mean, they're not that far off.
No, and that's actually really refreshing to kind of listen to and see when you hear a high school kid willing to stay home and he wants to make something special happen at his hometown university. I mean, it's really cool to listen to, especially when, I mean, this might sound thick, but to see that a 17-year-old or an 18-year-old can have that kind of vision is actually pretty refreshing.
Yeah, and, you know, him and Tony Fields II, mm-hmm. also of Desert Pines here in Las Vegas, very impressive young men when you speak to them. Mm-hmm. I said that about Tony glowingly. This kid is very impressive. He's an Arizona commit. He's a safety linebacker. Mm-hmm. He's a guy that could come in day one, and he would be an early enrollee because he's graduating in January, so he can enroll early. And he's a guy I know that Markell is talking to, trying to get him to stay.
Jacques Buchanan, huh?
Yeah.
I'm going to Merced this weekend.
Are you?
Yeah, that's where I'm heading.
Uh-oh. Going up there to get drunk.
Yeah, that's where the girlfriend's from, Merced.
Going to wine country at all?
No. We're going to have Yosemite, maybe.
Nice.
What's it called? Chinatown up in San Francisco.
Dude, there's an Italian place right next to Chinatown's Little Italy's right next to it.
Okay.
It's called Mona Lisa's.
Okay.
Dude.
Try
it. You guys would thank me. You're going to thank me. The kid I'm talking about from Bakersfield, from Liberty High School, his name is Johnny Baldurus. He's a 6'1", 175, he's a 4'6", but he's electric.
Is this the kid that, I don't know if you saw this, and maybe you're the one that retweeted it, but Rich Morocco, he is the head coach at Liberty High School here in town.
Okay.
Retweeted something to the effect of, oh, we can offer kids from Liberty and Bakersfield, but we can't offer kids from Liberty and Vegas. Yep. He seemed pretty salty about it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, the bottom line is this. They have
– and he's the head coach. So obviously, he's got it out for his kids, which is a good thing.
Yeah, I would like to see more coaches do that up here. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of them that just kind of sit and wait, and I would like to see them be proactive and get their kids recruited. I mean, that's one of the things. But there's a – I mean, insider, there's a bunch of
– you definitely did a good job here. Scout.com is where you want to go, inside the Rebels.
Yeah. Keep an eye on the name JoJo Fallow, 6'2", 280 defensive tackle from San Diego's Madison High School.
Yeah.
Dude's a baller, and he'd come in literally right next to Mike Hughes Jr. and be that type of guy. He's already 280. He's grown man strong. So, you know, that's the recruiting side. We kind of did things backwards. Normally talk about the game coming up. But I mean, it's our show, so we're going to do what we want to do.
It's madness.
Yeah, it's what it is. It's like election night. Yeah. And ironically, JVT is wearing a red shirt, and I'm wearing a blue shirt.
It was on purpose. This red, at least.
Well, the blue is because that's what I just threw on. Uh-oh, he threw up the blood sign. Of course. But, you know, speaking of, you know, this weekend, UNLV takes on Wyoming. Wyoming is very impressive on the defense side of the ball.
7.5-point favorite.
JVT's been on Wyoming
since week two. When they played Nebraska, they took, and Taylor Byrne didn't believe me on this, if you can go back, because ESPN3, this is the one thing that's cool about ESPN, is if you go to ESPN3.com, it transfers you to watch ESPN.
Yeah.
They archive every game that they show on their airways, especially when it comes to college football. So you go back and watch Wyoming-Nebraska. Their defense, it was 24-17 going into the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
Their defense kept them in that game. And when you watch in the fourth quarter, four interceptions by their quarterback, it is what just, oh, and it ended up being like 52-17 the final. Nowhere near indicative of what that was. And ever since I watched that game, their defense is for real. It flies around. It forces turnovers that will pick you off. It's one of the more impressive turnarounds I think we saw from last year to this year, at least for one single team in this conference.
And they got a big-time running back, too.
Oh, Ryan Hill is awesome.
Yeah, he's a guy. He's a Sunday player. Mm-hmm. He's a guy to get out there and play. I was very impressed. I was surprised that they struggled with Utah State last weekend.
Okay.
I was surprised that they struggled with Utah. I mean, I watched the game. I believe it was Utah State. It wasn't Nevada.
No, it was Utah State.
But it was very close in the fourth quarter when I was watching it. And I was in between that and another game. I wanted to kind of just see what they're up against. And
they, you sure think of the same game?
Yeah.
52-28 was the final.
How much did they score in the third and fourth quarter?
Let's see. Utah scored 21 points in the third. Because last time I checked in on this game, it was like 35-7 Wyoming, and I kind of tuned it out.
Utah State came back, and that's why I was like, oh, and I was okay. Now, the positives for UNLV this week is they get Tim Huff and Lex Thomas back.
Yep.
So they're back. They're back starting, I believe.
They also have their quarterback back.
Armani's not playing. He's redshirted. He's wearing your shirt.
Yep. Which he should be.
I agree. Their Kurt from Palandek will be the starter. But we told you that last week. I mean. Yep. You know, and I believe you're going to – I wouldn't surprise me if you've seen Dalton get in there. I think he struggled.
To be honest, I don't mean to cut you off. I'm sorry. No, but Sanchez mentioned at one point, and I can't remember which press conference it was, but that we might see them on the field at the same time. I mean, that would be an interesting dynamic just to see the creativeness that you can come up with when you have two passers on the field and they're both athletic at the same time.
Right.
You know? But we never saw that. And so I'm interested to see if maybe they'll start doing this, because if it sounds like Johnny is not going to be at full health at all this year, if he's going to really undergo surgery, which it sounds like he's going to, they mentioned it a couple times, why not start to get creative and put these two guys out at the field at the same time or go with a dual quarterback system? I know they're essentially the same quarterback, but if you put them on the field at the same time, it could, like, you, I don't know. It could be something to look at.
Like Pritch said, you know, you could put Palandek at receiver. You know, he's athletic enough to play that.
And I just mentioned it because, like I said, I swear I heard Sanchez mention at least once during a press conference. So I could be crazy.
Well, call you crazy like a fox.
Yeah. Hey, if it happens this weekend, you're welcome.
See, look at that. You going to be at the game this weekend?
No, I'm out of town.
Oh, yeah, you're out of town.
Yeah.
I may or may not be there, actually.
Yeah.
I have something I have to try to get out of.
Be there for Reno, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that reminds me. I'm glad you said that. Before we get more into Wyoming, for Reno, ESPN 710, this is Los Angeles. ESPN 1100 and 100.9 FM, Inside the Rebels and actually the Rebellion are teaming up to do a tailgate.
Oh, okay. Is that official?
We met last week. It sounds like it's official.
Okay.
So I'm working on trying to get some more tickets. Try to get tickets, do ticket giveaways, get everybody out there, working on getting some catering. So
cool,
and then you know, come on down and join us.
We get more than maybe they can crack 20,000.
I hope. Well, see, this is the cool part. Like, I haven't seen my brother Quan in about 2.5-3 years at our last family reunion, and my brother Bossy, who played in the NFL, they're all coming up here for Thanksgiving because there's a youth football tournament up here that weekend, and my brother Quan he lives up in Billings, Montana. He has 3 youth football teams he's bringing down. Cool. And he's like, dude, like, I'll bring the 70-something kids to the game, you know, and the parents. I mean,
yeah,
right there is probably about 200, at least 150 minimum, maybe 200 people.
Too bad we have to rely on that. You should actually get locals out there, maybe. Just saying.
Well, yeah, you know, but I think from my understanding, and this is my first time for the Battle for the Canyon. Yeah, I wasn't here up here. I wasn't up here last year for it. Yeah. I came up here a few months after. So,
well, last year was in Reno anyway. So
right. So even 2 years ago. But I heard that you get a good turnout.
Usually, let's see. Hopefully,
I wonder if it's
I've lost my faith.
I wonder if it's going to be a red out.
You would think, because you want to paint that thing red.
Yeah, you don't want to have any dark color, even though
no way.
Even though they could bet on black, but
no, you got to go all. I think you would go all red. All on red. That. Red helmet, red slacks,
red shirt.
Yep, everything.
The only thing
all red, everything.
Only thing white I'd have is the socks.
Yeah, I guess.
Or even black socks.
Nah, man, I'm going
black
red.
Socks. Black socks.
No, you got to red it out.
No.
Yes.
Too much red.
No. And there's never. No, but see, that's where you're wrong. This is how you know that you're new here. Never enough red, bro. Especially when it comes to that game. Never enough red.
See, okay.
I remember when they won the Cannon last year. I got to go to the Cannon paint that we covered and everything. It was pretty cool to see a lot of people in the student union all hyped up over it and parading it through the campus and everything.
Since you're alumni, and you went there, right? Obviously.
Yeah, I did go there.
So, you rocking red in the press box
that
day?
No, of course not.
Why not?
No.
Why?
Because I'm a journalist, my friend.
Okay, it don't. I mean, just because you're wearing a red shirt doesn't make you.
I'm covering it. I'm covering it. I can't take sides. No cheering in the press box, my
friend.
That's
crap. Because you know, I'm not saying no cheering.
Red is a form of cheering.
No, it ain't.
Yes, it is. Show my support. Got to be impartial. I stick to it. I will stick to it.
If you seen the look I gave him, if you guys could see, I'm a periscope one of these days.
Got to stick to it.
I may wear some candy, some Kappa colors up there. Crimson and cream.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see. Maybe I just wear all black because we're going to a funeral.
All black everything.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. There you go.
But let's move on to Wyoming. I mean, we kind of briefly touched on it. You know, this is going to be a tough one for them.
Yeah, I'm just going to say it. They're getting crushed.
I don't know about crushed. It's going to be a tough one for them.
Look, you're playing a team in Wyoming that has a penchant for forcing turnovers. You're playing a quarterback in Kurt Palandek who can't really throw the ball downfield. It's just a perfect mix of chaos because Wyoming's going to be like, okay, not, we'll put 10 in the box. Go ahead, throw it. And they're gonna have Kurt Ballendeck try to win it with his arm. And I don't think that's going to go well.
They're going to have 2 weeks to scheme for him.
It's true.
Okay. Wyoming's coming off. I mean, they're coming off some highs with their wins. I mean, they're playing real well. They're going to have a hiccup somewhere.
But you would think that would come the week after you upset Boise State, not 2 weeks after.
I don't think it's going to be a blowout. I think UNLV loses.
I want to be careful with that. Okay, I was going to say.
You've seen the way I look. Yeah. I don't think it's going to be a blowout. Fingers crossed.
So 7.5.
No, I take the over on that.
The over? What do you mean? You're going to take the points?
No, yeah, I think Wyoming.
You can take UNLV.
I don't gamble. No, I don't gamble. So over under, like I'm.
No, it's not over under. So UNLV Wyoming -7.5. So they got to win by 8 for that for you to cash your bet on.
Oh no, I'll take that because I think they're going to win by more than 8.
Oh, okay. Well, then that's kind of a blowout.
No, a blowout's like 25-30. I think it'd be like a 14-point game.
That's like, kind of a. I don't know. All right.
Okay. Okay. 10-point game. I mean, whatever. I don't think it's good.
So you're still laying the points. Okay.
Whatever.
Understand.
Yeah. I don't gamble. Like that's the thing. Like,
look, because to me, this is right. It's when you look at the two teams on the field, UNLV's defense has to be able to stop the run. That's their number one goal, right? Because Wyoming's going to run the ball, so they have to because their quarterback, not amazing.
So he run can take, blitz,
huh?
Run blitz.
Well, I understand they're going to do stuff like that. I'm just saying. We've seen when teams get physical with them, San Diego State, San Jose State, Colorado State, they kind of have a tendency to, not get soft, but they have a tendency to get taken advantage of, and we've seen it a couple times.
Are you saying they're softer than CVS cotton swabs?
No, I'm not. But we've seen it. I mean, it's on the track record. I'm not calling them soft. What I'm saying is they have a penchant for buckling against physical teams, right? And it's there. We've seen it already, right? So Wyoming's going to come right at them, and then on the other side of the ball, like I already mentioned, you have to face one of the top defenses in the country and be like, look, you can't turn the ball over, and you have to run against 8-man fronts, and you're going to have – it's just – like I said, it's just a perfect mix of chaos, I think, for UNLV. And with Wyoming, when I say they force turnovers, they also score when they force those turnovers. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so they won on a forced fumble recovered for a safety – right, against Boise State. Like, when their defense creates turnovers, it puts their offense in really good position.
I would love to see UNLV come out first play. Go deep.
What's deep? I mean, how deep can Kurt can Kurt throw?
I mean, still, just Kurt, wind up and let it go.
By the way, they tried that already this year. Do you remember what happened?
Okay, I understand what happened. It was...
What game was it?
UCLA?
No. Well, actually, that's a good one, too, but I'm talking about after Johnny got hurt. San Diego State.
Okay.
First play of the game, what happened?
Yeah, it was
four verts, and then he just tossed it up, and it was picked off.
Okay, but even at that, because what you're doing, you're setting a precedent. I mean, and let's be real, Kurt actually played up until that last throw a very good game for them.
Mm-hmm. But that's San Jose State.
You got to take credit when you can get credit, okay? When you got to take it. You got to take the positives. So, I think that if they can do something like that, just you know, and then still, don't do it just that one time. Periodically through the game, take those shots to try to soften. You can maybe hit one, and that softens that defense, which maybe they bring that eighth guy out the box, and then you can run that, and that's within a 7.
If that's part of their strategy, then we look at the wide receivers then at this point, and be like, there's going to be plays where you're one-on-one with your man. You're going to have to go up and make something happen.
Let's call it. We've got to see it. Devontae Boyd has to start stepping up and playing better football. Period. Yep. Devontae, I think he's a Sunday talent. I think he's the best wide receiver in the Mountain West. I think Devontae is a special talent. Devontae, with that ability, he needs to step up and play better football. Period.
Well, it's not, but it's not just him. What I'm saying is, if you're going to take what the defense gives you, some of these younger wide receivers have to step up as well.
Flowers needs to step up. Tross Claire, when he's in there, needs to step up. You know, there's
who got the phone ringing and everything?
Yeah, some guy in red. It's came all that red on, man.
Killing me.
I might as well give you the blue flu. But at the end of the day, like, I would definitely have them take that shot deep, you know, in Devontae, Tross Claire, Flowers, when Charles is out there, Charles Williams is lined up there, when Chuck's. Get them. They need to step up and make plays. Nope. Price, the tight ends. I mean, Price had that drop he had last week was egregious.
Yeah.
It was horrible. That's a game-changing drop.
Mm.
He's got to step up and play better ball. You know, and he's played good ball all year, but he can't afford to have those drops, not for the sake of the offense.
And with Lex coming back, then that means the running game obviously has to be effective, because you cannot, against this team, you cannot become one-dimensional. Because that's when they'll feast on you.
And that's the thing that, like, good coaches, and I think that's what Wyoming has, they take away what you're best at. If you're if the best person on this team is JVT, then they're going to take JVT away and force me to beat them. And if I can't do that, then we're screwed.
Craig Bowles done a really good job over there.
Great job. He'll I think he's gone after this year. I think people are taking notice.
I think one more year. Give them one more year, because this is kind of a blip. I mean, this is the one year that they're good. Let's carry it over one more year.
But see, you got, like, okay, the reason why I think he could be gone to this year is I don't know if Colorado loses their coach.
Mm.
Like, an SEC school may want him. He's from SEC country.
I don't know. I don't think, depending on the school, I don't think you take a coach out of the Mountain West and bring him over.
Well, no. I think...
Jim McElwain, people would be like, well, Jim McElwain had experience in the SEC already.
Right, but I could see a Big 12 school, you know, a school like that. Maybe, you know, I'm not saying a Purdue, because they may try for a big name, you know, and we'll see, but stranger things have happened. I mean, Gary Anderson left Wisconsin to go to Oregon State, which I think is a step down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in all honesty.
For Craig Bull, he's experienced at Nebraska. He's linebacker coach and the defensive coordinator.
Big Ten experience. No. You know, there may be some Big Ten openings. I mean, obviously, Purdue's open. There may be a few others. You know, you could have.
Give him one more year, I say.
Well, I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just saying it could be out there. You know, it could be. I mean, he's turned that program around, and they like guys that do. I mean, Herman.
Awesome at North Dakota State.
Huh?
He was awesome at North Dakota State.
Oh, gosh. He built that program into something fierce.
So crazy.
It's. Like, that's what you want in a head coach. And I think that's what they have here. I think that's what you have with Tony.
Well, of course.
You have a guy that...
Gotta have faith.
Yeah. Faith.
Yeah.
Little George Michael.
Yeah.
But I think you have that with Tony. That's why I think Bull has a chance. He can leave. I think he's got a chance. This year, he'll get an opportunity. He'll get some looks. Whether or not he goes. You know, I could see, like, a Purdue calling and having a discussion. And
we'll see.
Let's have a discussion, you know. But it's going to be tough to beat them. It's going to be very tough. And realistically.
I think realistically, you're hoping for 4 wins this year. That's what you're, because look at this murderer's row you're going through right now. Wyoming, Boise State, and then UNR is not going to be a cakewalk.
But I think they beat UNR.
Hopefully.
I have the utmost. I don't bet, but I'd be willing to place a gentleman's bet or something on that game. You know.
Oh, I mean, well, we'll obviously have to see what the state of the team is by that game. But
right,
you would think they would win. But again, like I said, that's going to be a very close game.
Wyoming, 34-24.
I'll go with same as UCLA score, 42-21. But UNLV will score a garbage touchdown to make it closer than it seems.
Well, I think one of the touchdowns, the 24 would probably be the garbage touchdown.
Okay.
But, I mean, still.
Going to that was kind of a weird. But if they go into UNR and they still only have 3 wins, if they lose to UNR, is this season a disappointment?
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
I agree.
Absolutely. Because you went into 2 weeks ago against Colorado State, and you went into that thinking we can get to 6.
Potential for 500.
Yeah, we could split Colorado State, San Jose State, get UNR, or if we win all 3, you know, we're in really good shape. Mm-hmm. And then you get manhandled by Colorado State. the quarterback played that week as well as the week after. It was porous at best. And then now you got your two toughest games of the year back to back. And then you got UNR, you know, which rivalry games, as we all know, is a toss-up. But I don't see them. UNR's, I am very surprised that they're as bad as they are.
Yeah, especially with how many returning players they had. I thought they would be better, especially on the offensive side of the ball.
And Polian's a good coach.
A lot of people would disagree with you on that one.
Well, I mean, they weren't complaining a couple years ago.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the thing. It's really one. Is this his blip on the radar? You know, and I think UNLV will beat UNR by 10 or more points.
Putting it out there now.
Right now.
Okay.
Mark it down. Tape it.
10 or more points.
Using our Mitch and Pritch or Cofield and Company, UNLV would beat UNR by more than 10 points. I'm saying it right now going into the Wyoming game.
Okay.
And I'll say Lex and Charles in that game will run for over 120 yards.
Right, crazy.
I don't care.
Getting crazy.
I'm crazy like a fox. But it's time for, like, Devontae Boyd, going back to the receivers. Devontae Boyd and the receiving company. The Boyding company need to step up at this point. You know, they have to. If they don't, you know, and then UNLV is forced to become one-dimensional. And then Wyoming takes them to the woodshed.
Yep.
Damn, I don't like when we agree.
Well, this one's easy.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
No offense to the program, but this Wyoming's a really good team.
Really good.
Yep.
What do you think about where the college football ratings are as far as the...
I try not to get too worked up. I thought it was, to be honest with you, Michigan's my fourth team, not Washington. The first few weeks was the first 5-6 weeks of the season. They never leave the state of Michigan except to go to Rutgers. And the other teams you've beaten, Maryland just this past weekend, not that impressive. Washington, you have a win over Utah. You've been, and this is what I love, is they're talking about strength of schedule. Utah's actually taken care of the I don't know, cupcakes on their schedule. They've taken care of everybody. Stanford was ranked 7th when they played them. They dropped, what was it, a 44-7? It was ridiculous what they did to Stanford. So I just think, but again, I'm not going to try to get worked up. And I also, you can clearly see what they're doing with Ohio State, with their one loss being to Penn State. So what do they do with Penn State? They overrank Penn State, so then Ohio State's one loss doesn't look that bad.
Well, I completely and I heard you and Taylor and Steve yesterday. I was listening to you guys coming back. I was at the Stratosphere. I was coming back. I completely disagree with you guys. Washington is legit.
That's what I'm saying. I just said that.
Yeah. Well, no, okay. I know you said that. But I know Taylor said, because he hasn't watched them, and he's putting – look, here's the deal with Louisville. Louisville's a one-trick pony.
Well, they're overly reliant on one player, yeah.
Right, and there's a reason why they got handled. Now, Lamar Jackson is going to be the Heisman winner.
Yeah.
Jabril Peppers is the best player in college football.
Heisman, but Heisman's an offensive award. It's turning into a quarterback award. It's never really been. The last time
it was
an Ndamukong Suh, who was the last defensive player who even got close to sniffing it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
I think so, yeah.
At least he was in the Final Four or something like that. But, yeah, no, it's an offensive award.
Washington can beat any – Washington, I'll put it like this. Washington matches up against Alabama better than any team that they currently have. Washington can beat Alabama. They match up pound for pound with Alabama.
I think Clemson can match up with them pretty well, too.
I don't think that at all.
Deshaun Watson played them pretty well last year.
Yeah, but they lost so much stuff, so many players on the defensive side of the ball. I mean, you lose McKenzie, you lose Shaq Lawson, they lose the other. They don't match up on that side of the ball. I'll go as far as saying this.
Oh, here we go again.
Washington has the best cornerback in the country in Sidney Jones IV.
Oh, okay.
By far, and Sidney should win the Thorpe Award.
I thought you were going to guarantee like a 10-point win again.
No, not yet.
But yeah, that's
but,
it.
But look, for me, it's Alabama, and you can't discredit what they've done. I mean, the SEC least, you know, and then you have the SEC West. It's just the least is horrible. It's a joke. Yep. There's no way Kentucky should be anywhere. If they beat Georgia, they're in the driver's seat, right?
Yep.
Ridiculous. Okay. Auburn and Alabama, they play what? In a couple weeks, don't they?
I believe they played last week of the season.
Okay, so
regular season.
That's gonna be one where you throw out the records, but Alabama's gonna manhandle them. They're not gonna let another. The only way two Big Ten teams get in my opinion, is if Ohio State beats Michigan in a close game.
Of course.
That's it.
Yep.
But I'll tell you right now,
and that's what they want.
Ohio State's overrated.
Right, that's what I'm telling you. No. Well, that's why I just said, like, that's what they're doing with Penn State is, oh, wait, Ohio State lost to an unranked team? Well, guess what? We'll put them in the top 10 2 weeks later. You
know
it's ridiculous.
Else, you know who else is overrated?
Hmm.
Wisconsin.
No, you're wrong on that one.
No, I'm not. They have no quarterback.
Well, their quarterback holds them back, but their defense is a top 10 defense.
No doubt about the defense.
Yeah, exactly. If you gave them a quarterback, then they're actually right up there with everybody else.
Well, you talk about one trick pony. They're a running team.
No, I get that, but they're not overrated. They're where they should be.
They're not. They have no chance of getting a playoff.
I don't think they really do, but I think they are where they're. Oh my god!
They are what they are.
Yeah,
they are.
They are where they should be. Like I just said.
Yeah. I just think they're a little overrated. And same thing in the gross overrated is A&M. There's no way.
Of course, yes.
They should be what, eighth? They finished. They were like number eight in there. Something.
But it's the SEC, man. Come on.
Look, the bottom line is this: A&M, Wisconsin, Ohio State, they need to step back.
Well, A&M's done. Night's out for the rest of the season.
Yeah, and they're overrated to begin with. They shouldn't have been number four last week.
Of course not.
I tweeted it, and then we caught some hell. I caught some hell from it.
He's a Texas A&M fan when you actually look at his profile. So
I didn't.
Yeah, I clicked on it. I'm like, oh, well, Texas A&M right in the bio. I'm
but,
like, okay.
But to his credit, he tweeted at me and was like, you were right, I was wrong. I guess overvalued A&M. And it's like, all right. I mean, that's why I love Twitter, though. Dude, that's why, you know, we can have these discussions. And I know it's supposed to be UNLV, but, I mean, we talked about Wyoming. We talked about recruiting. I feel like this is pertinent because this is where UNLV is going. You know what I mean? As far as where the state of the program could be going in a few years.
Ooh, in a few years. That's three.
3 to 4.
3 to 4, you think they're contending for a CFP spot?
No, Mountain West Championship. Okay. And being in a position where San Diego State is, where
a fringe top 25,
top 20,
really,
I could even see them, because here's gonna be the thing: there's gonna be so much buzz with the Fertitta Football Complex and with the stadium, right? Tony's gonna get huge attention, and all it is a PR blitz at that point.
Mm-hmm.
This is Vegas. Where do you put the best productions at, baby? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Other than L.A. and in La La Land, you come to Vegas and you put on the show.
NCAA doesn't like Vegas, though.
Yeah, they like it when they're getting paid.
Yeah.
So it's not going to matter. If UNLV continues to do what they're doing, I think they could crack top 20 easy. You know, with this class and last year's class and then the class after. Oh, yeah. The class. I'm telling you. Like, I'm all in. And I hate saying all in.
Yeah.
I hate that word, that saying. But I've bought in completely. Tony can sell me snake oil and say it'll clear up my sinuses, and I'm with it.
I can tell. I'm not all the way in yet. I don't like to get too close too soon. Don't like to open my heart.
So, hey, what do you think about Troy Brown committing to Oregon?
Kind of figured it would happen. I mean, not Oregon specifically, but I don't think it was going to be UNLV. I think you see a lot of times with these high-profile guys, especially in town, they'll keep their hometown university, or at least it happens a lot here, they'll keep UNLV in their final five or whatever they call it, but they're never really in the mix. Yeah. They just have them there because, I grew up out here, might as well consider it. But at the end of the day, I don't think it was going to happen. PJ Washington, I still believe, still up for grabs. I put
O'Bannon
up O'Bannon
too from Gorman.
Yeah, O'Bannon.
I think he's got a chance to go there.
Early signing period started though yesterday. I think today, something like that. So
he's announcing soon, I think too.
I don't know yet, but
I'll have to ask Jeff Waterlove, my new writer. He's pretty good about.
But yeah,
it.
I figured he would be going to probably a better Power Five school. But
I don't know. You know, there's something that says a lot about a guy's like to build something. Here's my thing with Troy committing to Oregon. Good for him. My beef is, and it's just with fans in general.
It's a good program, man.
It is. And isn't Michelle Obama's brother the head coach there?
No. It'd be Dana Altman over there.
Altman over there. He was the coach there, I believe. Yeah, double check. But here's my beef with fans and guys, and take it how you want to take it. As I say, if the skirt fits, get a matching purse. When a kid commits to a school, there's no reason to get on the kid because he didn't commit to the school you want him to commit to. It's not you.
Or people doing it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, there was a guy that was like, oh, yeah, you're really keeping it, you're really representing Vegas going to Oregon, sell out. You know, you're not, there's nothing Vegas about you.
Can I say something?
Absolutely.
That is exactly why I love UNLV basketball fans. Because, like, the second, it's always like, come here, come here, come here. And the second that they make a choice for themselves, it's crucify them, they're garbage, blah, 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 blah. And you saw it even with players who spent time at the program and decided to go on to the NBA.
I seen that this week. There was a major Twitter thing. I don't know if you guys talked about it on the show. There's a UNLV fan, and she's a very divisive fan on Twitter.
What's the handle?
UNLV girl. Or
but is it GRL?
Yeah. And she ripped Zimmerman for leaving, talking about he was soft, he's not part of the program.
Yeah.
She says some very unflattering things.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of other fans, including this person by the name of Puppy on there, that was like going at her about it. Like, how can you even say that? Like, you know, mind you, the girl who ripped Zim was like anti-stadium to the fullest. Mm-hmm. Like, she even now was like, you know, what's going on with Sam Boyce? So she's in her own little world in Henderson. Well, Zim's mom came on there. And said something to her, and there was not a reply from her after
She's
that.
She's a hawk.
I love that about Zimmerman's mom. Zim's mom, if you listen to this, I doubt you do.
No.
But you're a goddess to me for doing. You're a rock star for doing that. Mm. I like that.
I like that. There's a.
I mean, not with everything, but right there. I mean, what she said was very. I mean, the woman said it was very unflattering stuff. Like, he was soft. He didn't play through injuries. You know, he's the reason why they didn't have a great season last. Basically,
him and his injuries.
Yeah, you know, but he came back and played hurt. Like,
yeah, no, I know. That's what I'm saying.
Like, come on. So for me, like, when people do that, like, and you rip a kid for making
Las
a choice,
Vegas, buddy.
Well, no, it's everywhere. And I was down in L.A. People will do that for UCLA and USC.
I don't know, man. It's
too.
Pretty bad here.
No,
it is. They are very fickle here. Well, very fickle.
That's fans everywhere. You gonna tell me a guy that commits to go to Auburn versus Alabama?
I
mean, they're everywhere. I mean, honestly, John, they're, it's everywhere, brother. But
it's ridiculous.
If you had the ability,
you should have seen the
if it's your decision, you have the ability to make your own decision. Don't rip a kid because you can't do it.
This is old topic. I'm not getting into this.
No,
you
should do it.
No, you should have seen the reaction when Dave Rice went to Reno. Oh, you traitor! Same
he
people
got
who
fired. Where's he gonna go?
The same people who were calling for him to get fired called him a traitor when he left to go get another job.
So you can't work for us, but you can't work for Reno, but you can work for anybody else. Get the hell out of here.
It's Las Vegas.
That's ludicrous.
Yeah.
Ridiculous. Get out of here with that. That's horrible. So whatever. You know what?
Yeah.
Bottom line is good for Troy Brown. Everybody else that's looking to commit, if you guys do. Great.
Well,
good for
you. Sorry, I know. But think about it this way, right? If you're going at Troy Brown and his comments and tweeting at him and everything like that, if I'm PJ Washington and I see Troy Brown and
I
look at
that. Why the hell would I want to go
there? Exactly. And I see the way the fans are, why would I want to go? People don't realize that they pay attention to these things. Why? If I see your way to represent Vegas, your softball, I'm sorry, I'm out.
Yeah. You gotta, I mean, and that's a struggle. I mean, and here's the thing too, like they really, I believe the kids can't really respond to
probably
the
not.
Tweets because I think it's an NCAA violation.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was like one
so
of the things. It's something stupid like that. And it sucks because that's what I do for a living. I interact with these kids. I'm not directing them to UNLV by any means, but I'm reporting. So, I mean, I follow them. I'll, you know, retweet their highlights, whatever the case may be. So, I don't know. But that's it for this week's Inside the Rebels. Hopefully we made it a little bit better for you waking up this Wednesday morning when we did this from your political hangover. For JVT, what's your handle on Twitter?
@MeJVT.
I'm @JoeArrigo and @InsideTheRebels. Don't forget, coming up on Inside the Rebels later tonight, Jacob Rominger will be with me discussing his recruitment. There'll be a full article on there for everybody. JVT is
I'm out.
He's out this week. Tomorrow's his last day. Hey, by the way,
I'm out.
Happy birthday.
Hey, thanks, man.
It's the JVT birthday edition.
Yep. Friday's the big day. I'm not really a big birthday guy. Like, to be honest with you, like, my girlfriend's the one that wants to go out of town and do stuff and always it makes a big deal. I'm just like, eh.
So, okay, we know you're going up north.
Yeah.
How old are you going to be?
I'm going to be 26.
Doggone.
Yeah.
At 26, I couldn't tell you what I was doing. I'd be arrested.
Yeah.
But, hey, in a few months after the first year, I'll get you a birthday present. It'll be some special gummies.
Hey, man. Good for Nevada. That's all I'm going to say. To be honest with you, like I said, you regulate alcohol. You're not worried about the labels on the pretty alcohol bottles. You know, the stupid ads with the Mr. Dank bar. Watch out for the kids. Like, do you realize how just irresponsible you're being right there? So you're, instead of being a good parent and actively keeping, I don't know, things like medication or weed or alcohol out of the reach of your kids,
cigarettes,
you're like, let's outlaw it instead. Like, no, just be a parent. Don't eat this. And by the way, they're not even labeled like that. They're not. There's a law that says they're not allowed to be labeled like regular food, and they have a label on it. Whatever.
See, you notice I let Jay's JVT elaborate. I have no idea because the inside world. No, hey, I'm just kidding. I'm just messing with you.
And who says I smoke? Who says I don't have relatives who actually use it for medical purposes? See, and I realize and what thing, it does.
You know what? I do. And I'll be honest. My stepfather. And he's in his early 50s, he's had, or his mid-50s, he's had like 29, 30 surgeries. And he has to because it's the one thing that alleviates his pain. Yep. I have family members and friends who are cancer, who have cancer and cancer survivors that they have to because it alleviated the pain. So I don't have a problem with it at all for that.
Yep.
Just don't sell them to my kids.
There you go.
You know, when they're 21, they can make that decision on their own.
Exactly.
You know, that's just, that's part of being a parent.
Exactly.
So, that's it for Inside the Rebels. You already know the Twitter handles. We'll talk to you next week, hopefully after a surprise win against Wyoming. We'll see what happens. And we'll be getting ready for the Spud Head, Potato Heads, Mr. Potato Head and Company, Boise State.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah. I'm Joe Rigo. That's JVT. We'll talk to you guys soon. Tune in to ESPN 1100.9 throughout the week. Want to thank Mark Seidel and ESPN for letting us use the studio. We'll talk to you next week. Have a good one.